Okay, why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to be patient with me because these first two verses, actually the first, we'll look at the, I'm going to read it, verse 9. But the actual first two verses, they have a lot in there, okay? And again, I love how Paul, when he heard from the house of Chloe about what was going on in the church there in Corinth, and it was a bad church. They started well, but they started to end bad. But I love the fact that he reminds them of their position in Christ. And this is why I'm going to continue to stay on these two verses till we get through these key words here. Because I think it's a message for every church. We got to remember our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, who you are, who do you belong to. And I know if I was doing bad, I wouldn't want somebody to come up to me and say, hey, you're doing bad. I want them to come up to me and say, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. Remember what Jesus died for you. Remember you're his child. Remember what he did for you and how he took you out of the miry pit and how you're his saint. You're his, he loves you. And then slap me, okay? Then you can do this, pow, pow, you know? But that's what Paul's doing here. This is why I'm going to continue. So I'm just going to ask you to be a little patient, okay? And I'm going to ask you to stand because we're going to read it real fast. So go ahead and stand as we, we read. Starting in verse 1. And we'll read the first maybe 9 verses, 8 verses, depending on where I'm going to start here. Okay, so Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God in Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, and to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. God is what?
Faithful.
Is what?
Faithful.
God is faithful. Don't ever forget that. In fact, tattoo that on your arm. If you're going to have a tattoo, that would be it right there, ladies. God is faithful. Okay? By whom you were called into the fellowship of her Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm sorry. I'm in a funny mood today. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, you are faithful. Even when we're not faithful, you're still faithful. So as we look to your word, Father, just we ask that you would encourage us. We ask that you would edify us. But also, if you need to rebuke us, if you need to chastise us, coming from you, it's a good thing. And so we open our hearts to you, Lord, our minds, our thoughts. And we ask that you take full control. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Also, it was my son's birthday on the 8th, right? The 8th, right? So this is really good because he turned 45 this year. I turned 65 this year, and his son turned 25 this year. So we're all named Steve, Stevie. 26, I'm sorry. Okay, well, when you get to 40, there's three things that you forget. I just don't remember what they are because I'm in my 60s. So 46, I'll be 46. 66, excuse me. Okay, let's start all over. It was my son's birthday, okay? He turned 46. I'll be 66 in November, and his son turned 26. And we're 20 years apart, and we're all named Stevie. There we go, got it out. Okay. So anyways, let me take a drink of water here. All right. So again, we're in the book of Corinthians. I really have been enjoying reading it. And we last 2 weeks ago, we saw how Paul, he mentions how he's an ambassador, a messenger of the gospel. And he was sent out and he was called by the will of God. And I think that we as Christians should never forget that. Who calls you? Right? That old saying by, I think it's Telly Savalas. Savalas, right? Who loves you, baby? I think it was him. I don't know. Okay, it was Kojak. Okay, I never watched it because we had Telemundo, so I don't know. But he was sent down, called by the will of God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't sent out for himself. He wasn't sent out for somebody else. He was appointed by God to be a witness, to be a missionary, with the purpose of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to wherever he could. And I think that's a calling. We're going to look at our calling right to this morning. Perfect calling, because we're called to do the same thing, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Because Paul's highest calling was, and I'm always telling you that the highest calling is not being in the ministry. The highest calling is what? Wherever you are, that's the highest calling, because you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 7-Eleven. You can share it in Walmart. You can share it out in the street, in the park. That's the highest calling. Whenever you share the word of God, you're under that high calling of God. And that's what Paul did. He shared it wherever he was. But it's God who calls us. He calls men. He calls women. He calls us to serve him. We don't choose him. We don't choose. I didn't just wake up and say, you know what, Fernando and Andy, I think I'm tired of the gang. I think I'm going to go serve God now. All right. Well, see you guys later. No, I didn't even have that thought in my mind. God called me. He said, hey, I want you, and I'm calling you. Though I didn't understand that, as we're going to see. But he's the one who calls men and women. We don't choose him. He chooses us. But it's up to us to respond to his calling. I'm going to have to take this off because it's affecting. Okay, just falling apart here. All right, and we know that because John 15, Jesus tells us that we didn't choose him, that he chose us. So we are called to be messengers, okay? You guys believe that, right? You are called to be a witness. You believe that? And you are called to witness at all times, and if need be, use words, okay? So you know what that means? Being an example. Sometimes you don't have to use words. You have to say, hey, God loves you, because they'll see it in your life as you live it. What you tell others, they're going to see you if you're living that actual message. But you're called to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to your Jerusalem, to our corporately our Jerusalem, personally your Jerusalem. That could be in your home. That could be your neighbors. That could be your job. Corporately as a church, here we go. We're called to reach our Jerusalem. This is a good example of doing that right here. You are called. We are called. And so that's why I pray that we all can get together. It'd be great if they see, the more people they see, they're going to say, wow, that's pretty good. Let's go. You know, and let's bring our kids there. Just like Paul, and that's why you need to know and make your election sure. Now look at verse 1. Paul says this. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Okay? Now, Peter jumps on that, and he tells us, and I share, these are some of my favorite scriptures. You probably know that because I share them a lot. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he told the believers, he said, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You'll never sin. Is that what he's saying? No. He says you'll never stumble. What does that mean? That means you won't fall away from the Lord. You won't leave the faith. You will stay with God. You'll still blow it, but you will never fall away. If you make your election and calling sure. Well, if you don't know your calling, which you should know it, guys, just in chapter 1, as I'm going to read these, alone, chapter 1 alone, he gives us our calling. He gives you your calling. I want you to check this out. Look at verse 1. He says we're called to be what? An apostle. Now, I'm not telling you a title. Don't go around and say, hey, I'm an apostle. But you do the work of an apostle. What is an apostle? Apostle is the definition is one who's what? Sent out. Sent out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are called to be sent out for the gospel of Jesus Christ, a disciple of God. We all are called for that. So that there's one calling right there, okay? You are called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Look at verse 2. You are called to be what? In verse 2, sanctified. In who? Christ Jesus. If you don't know your calling there, Paul says you're called to be sanctified. What else are you called to be in verse 2? You're called to be saints. You're called to be a saint. What else in verse 2? You are called to what? Call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both yours and ours. So he gets three callings there. One, you're called to be sanctified. Two, you're called to be a saint. And three, you're called to call on the name of Jesus Christ your Lord. That means you need to talk Christianese. When you go out there in the world and you're among the people, you're what you say should be seasoned with salt, okay? Or pepper, if you like. I like pepper more than salt. But in other words, when you season your food there, what is the purpose of it? To make it what? Taste good. And you want to chew it, you want to eat it. Well, that's what you are called to do. Call on the name of Jesus Christ. That when you talk to people, when you're out there, even when you're not talking to people, but they hear your voice, you're seasoning your language, your Christianese with others, and it's they're loving it. Look at verse 9. You were called to what? You were called into what in verse 9? Into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, you are called to go to church. You're called to fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And not only church, but every day having your own devotion, having your own prayer time. I mean, how many of you pray before you get up in the morning? How many of you wake up praying? Yeah, I do that. How many of you go to bed praying? I do that. It's called praying without ceasing. Well, you are called into the fellowship of his son. In other words, you're going to have that sweet koinonia with Jesus. You're going to have that devotion time with Jesus. You're going to read the word and you're going to pray and you're going to just worship God. You are called to do that. Look at verse 20. Jump down to verse 24. Look what it says. Paul says, who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So what are you called there? You're called to be a believer, okay? Well, you guys are, if you had to pick it to you, it would be Greeks because you're not Jewish. But in other words, he said, hey, you are called both, he's called both Jews and Greeks. You are called to be a believer. That's why God called you, right? He called you. Didn't he pull you out of the miry clay? He called you to be saved, to be a child of God. What are you called to be? Are you called to be a believer in the Lord? Look at verse 26. Paul says, for you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, Not many mighty, not many noble are called. So what are you called there to be what? Humbled. You're called to be humbled, a humbled person in the Lord, not a proud person. I'm proud to be a Christian, but I'm not proud of myself and my doing and my acts and what I do. But I'm proud to be a believer in the Lord. I'm proud to be part of the body of Christ. So these are the callings. This is just in chapter 1, guys. We still got the whole whole book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which will probably be in heaven by the time we finish. So the question is this. What are you called? What are you in God's will? Okay. What has God called you to be? Do you know? Because you should know as a believer. Because you have to make your election and your calling sure. And what you call yourself in Jesus Christ, and I'm talking positionally, what you call yourself in Jesus Christ, you should be practicing in your life as well. Your position in Jesus Christ. In other words, practice what you preach, right? Am I right? You heard that saying, practice. Man, that should be the tactic you should get. Practice what you preach. Okay? We should be doing that. Besides, what you do for the Lord, guys, that's the only thing that's going to really matter. Okay? That's the only thing that's going to last. What you do for the Lord, because Jesus tells us that. Everything else is going to fade away. He said that in First John chapter 2:15. Listen to what John said. He said, don't love the world nor the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 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 That's a long time. Okay? Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth is passing away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of encouragement here. Okay? Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which you'll probably get there in maybe about 6 years. But listen to what he said, because this is encouraging. Okay? Now, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You believe that? Praise God, I'm not going to go into heaven with this body. How tall am I going to be? 6'2". What's going to be my name? Theophilus. Okay. And I'm going to have a neck. Okay. Thank God I'm not going to go in this body, because this body is fading away. Okay. It can't inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Listen to this. We shall not all sleep. In other words, die. Not all of us are going to die, but we shall be changed. Okay? We're going to be changed. We're being changed daily. Believe it or not, every day you shall be changing. Okay? As you seek the Lord, the more you seek the Lord, the more you're going to change. The old man, the old woman is being beaten down by the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, because the word of God is going deep in the inner man and inner woman. It's changing. This is just flesh, okay? This is always going to do wrong, right? How many of you did wrong on the way here in the car, right? Always, okay? You got to be careful with that, okay? It's called road rage, right? This is always going to be like that. But the real us is inside that spirit. Our spirit, that's the part that relates to God. It's changing. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. You believe that? It's like a scorpion, you know, a bee, right? How many of you are allergic to bees? Well, you'll know I'm allergic because when I get stung by a bee, I blow up, okay? And so it looks like I'm stung every day. He goes on, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, listen, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the only things that you do for the Lord, those are the only things that are going to last, okay? That's why it's important to know what he called you for. And we are called, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Listen to what Jesus said. Bear with me. If you see somebody sleeping, there's a new thing I want you to do. Kindly just go over and pull like this and say, he's talking about you. Don't say it loud. Just say, he's talking about you. And it's priceless. The look on their face, they're going to go, you know. I've seen a video of that. It was great. It was so funny. I laughed. I said, we got to have to try that. So it's okay. One of you can fall asleep because I want to try an experiment. Richard. Okay, we'll get Richard. Okay. Okay, Jesus said this. Listen what he said here, guys. Don't lay up treasures for yourself on where? Earth, where moth rusts destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. See, that's the things of God is the only thing that's going to last, that's going to go stay for eternity. That's what you're going to be rewarded for and blessed with. Not the things you do on earth. And I'm not saying they're bad, but they're going to, according to Scripture, they're going to fade. They're going to end. The things of God will last forever. Treasures in heaven. That's why you seek the Lord. That's why you know your calling. Look at verse 1. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, again, I know I mentioned this maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But notice Paul calls Sosthenes our brother. And I love this portion of this story about this brother. And he calls him a brother in Christ. And why that's very powerful about this brother is the fact that he once tried to have Paul killed. Remember we talked about that? Sosthenes, he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he took Paul before the governor of Rome, and he wanted him pretty much taken out of the way. But the governor, he gave him no time of day, and he just said, nope, get out of here. If it's a matter of Roman law, I will see you, but because it has to do with your laws and your problems and Jewish law and all that, because I want nothing to do with it, so get out of here. And they end up beating him. Remember, those who he came with took him and they beat this brother, Sosthenes. But now Paul calls him a brother. I think this is a powerful testimony, because when Paul wrote this epistle, guess who was right there by his side? Sosthenes was right there. And just like us, at this point, something happened within him, because shortly after, you know, he tried to kill Paul, he was converted, he got saved, just like us. So this is why I think this example of Sosthenes is important, because those who try to oppose you, have you had those? You had those, right? People who try to oppose you, your faith, not you, but your faith, who oppose you, those who oppose your faith are often the very ones who are the most convicted and touched by the Holy Spirit. And we see that in the Word of God. Some are the ones that the Lord will bring closer in getting saved, those who will be converted, because I know, because I was saved. I was one of them. Every time I did evil, every time I did bad, I was convicted afterwards. I couldn't understand why. I didn't know why. I had no clue why. Why am I feeling bad for doing this? Why? Well, every time I did something bad, I start feeling guilty. It was not until I was saved for such a time as this. Just like Sosthenes and all of you who have come around, So when you share the gospel with others, listen, there's always a response, right? How many of you have shared the gospel with others, right? We all should be raising our hand. You're always going to get this response, okay? Okay, here's the response. You're either going to get them to listen, and they're going to respond, and they're going to get saved, okay? Or they won't give you the time of day, or actually they'll listen, but they won't respond till later. Okay, a lot of times, and that's truth. Brother Dave, and I share this with you guys. Dave Carrillo, I used to work with General Dynamics. I gave him a Bible for his birthday. Not a Christian, didn't want nothing to do with God. Total pothead, party animal. Opened my present up. It was a Bible. He just took that Bible and he just threw it on his desk like this and went and rejoiced in all the other stuff. 6 years later, he called me and said, you know what? I worked with you, Dave. And he says, I don't know if you remember, but you gave me my first Bible 6 years ago. And I just want you had to be the first to know that I took that Bible and I read it and I accepted Jesus Christ. 6 years later, okay? So sometimes you're not going to see the fruit right then on that day. They're going to listen, but they're going to respond later. Because we know God's word doesn't go void. And then there'll be the ones who won't give you the time of day, and they're just going to reject Christ, and they're going to die in their sins. But nevertheless, we are called according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says, where it tells us, who is Paul, who's Apollos, but minister through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one of us. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So you might be watering a seed in somebody's life when you share Christ. Or you may be actually planting the seed, but God's the one who raised them up. I don't go around and say, oh, I led somebody to the Lord. I led somebody to the Lord. Ba 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 ba. Then that crown. Pew. Remember that commercial? Ba, da, 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 da. And that was just for eating butter. Margarine. And so we are called to water. We're called to plant seeds. And remember, God's the one who's going to raise them up, just like he raised each and every one of us. Look at verse 2. And then he goes on into the church of God, which is at Corinth. And I want you to notice, Paul doesn't say to the church of Corinth, okay? He doesn't say that. He says to the church of God, which is at Corinth. And the reason why is because it wasn't the church of Corinth. It wasn't Paul's church. This is not my church. I don't like saying, oh, yeah, my church. I don't say it's my church. It's all of our church, but most importantly, it's God's church. And if you want proof of that, anybody want proof of that, that this is God's church? The proof is that we're still here. It's not based on numbers, okay? Look how many chairs are empty. It's not based on numbers. It's not based on finances. It's based on the fact that we are still here and we're still serving the Lord and God's still on the throne. The gospel's still being preached and people are still getting saved. That's what it's based on. So it's the church of God. The church is of God because the church is what? Believers. Right. It's us. We're the church, not the building. I mean, this is a nice building. This is our upper room, and I respect that. I feel like I should say, you know what, guys, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. But, you know, we don't have any fans going right now, so you probably shouldn't. But we're the church, okay? The Holy Spirit abides in us. He's anointed us now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is just a building. If they take this building away, I'm still going to preach the gospel. Well, remember COVID? We did it in the parking lot. And actually, that was pretty cool because people were walking by hearing the gospel. I didn't get a chance to share, but Neil shared. I think Lou shared. And somebody else shared. I didn't get to share. I don't think I was able to share because I was on vacation or something. I don't know. I didn't have COVID. But anyways, but because there's not a church of Corinth, again, it's not Paul's church. This ain't our church. It's God's church, which means there can only be one true church, and that's the church of God. The church is called to do what? God's will, not man's will, okay? The church doesn't exist to honor and to lift up the name of the pastor. Too many people do that. We're not here to lift up the name of the pastor. We're here to lift up the name of the master, not the pastor, the master, okay? It doesn't matter. I'm always saying it doesn't matter who teaches the word of God up here. As long as it's the truth, it's the word of God, God can use a donkey. Jesus said, if you don't do it, the rocks, very rocks will do it. I would love to have seen that. Maybe it did happen. Can you imagine sitting there, all of a sudden the rocks start worshiping Jesus? Wouldn't that be amazing? Guys, you know what the Bible said? That there's many things that Jesus did that were too great for us to even fathom or believe that they couldn't, the Bible could not contain them. We're going to find out when we get to heaven. Maybe it is the rocks talking, you know, like VeggieTales, a fruit, right, praising the Lord. But again, the church doesn't exist to honor the pastor. It exists to honor the master, because once that happens, once you start lifting up the pastor, then there's that danger of not only to the church, but to those who act as though they own the church when they start to say, hey, this is my church. And sooner or later, that will destroy the fellowship in the ministry. And it will affect the church to be used to reach its Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas. And eventually it's going to lead to severe punishment from God. And I don't want to be punished by God by saying, no, God, this is my church. Okay? And those who set themselves up as the owners of the church, God's going to bring punishment. You want to know why? Because Jesus said, and I'll share that scripture in Isaiah 42:8, but because God won't share his glory with anyone. He won't. He's not going to share his glory with somebody who's self-centered, somebody who's sitting on the throne, arrogant, someone whose works will, what they do will cause the church to stumble, to be destroyed, the church and God, and it's God's and God's alone. That's it. That's the bottom line. The church is God's. Isaiah 42:8. The Lord said, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will not be given to another, nor my praise to carven images. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, he says it twice, I will do it. For how shall my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? And then he told Israel out in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. He's a jealous God. Remember, men, or even the ladies, how you were jealous before we became Christians and we were jealous of our girlfriend or our boyfriend? I was jealous of Carmen a lot. And one time we went to Circle K, and we went into Circle K, and as I was walking, this guy in the car was just eyeballing her and right in front of me, and I didn't like that one bit. And she walked in, and I stood like king of the mountain. And I went over there, and I was ready to start some business, right? Because jealousy. Well, this guy gets out, and he walks over to me, and I go like this. It was a big Samoan dude. This guy was he was like as tall as John. He was big. And he's looking down at me like this, and I'm looking at him. He goes, the reason why I'm not even going to do anything is because I will kill you. And I said, thank you. I did. I said, thank you. And then I just walked up and got car in it, and let's go. And you know what the neat thing about it, though, is I end up working with that guy at the Navy, Navy Exchange. I end up working with this guy. I got hired there, and this guy was there. And this guy, he said, and we were talking, he says, I want to take you to meet my buddies. So he took me to this park in Paradise Valley, and it was a grip of Samoans. These guys were big. And I walked in because I wanted to introduce you to this friend of mine, and I met all of them, and I felt like a little, I felt like a hobbit. I felt like a hobbit in the midst of orcs because they look like orcs. But again, God's, he's a jealous God. And so Paul writes here, and look at verse 2. He says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, are called to be saints. Okay, here's a calling. Did you know that the word church, okay, you know what the word church means? It means a called out people. Okay, that's what the church, that's what the church is. It's a called out people who are called out for the Lord. And we are called to be what? Sanctified. The word sanctified literally means set apart. It's from the root word, which is hagias, okay? And it means one who set apart for a exclusive purpose, for a very specific reason. That's why you were called out. And he compares it, this Greek meaning, this word, is compared to a covenant of a marriage where one is set apart for another. And the Hebrew concept of sanctification, listen to it with that a meaning in the Hebrew. It gives us a picture of the vessels like the plates, the cups that were used in the tabernacle and the temple of God for the exclusive purpose of sacrificing and for the service of worshiping the Lord. Okay, we're talking the utensils that they used to do the sacrifice and to worship God in the temple, the holy temple. That was their only use. It was for that purpose only. They weren't used for anything else but to worship the Lord. And that's what it means to be sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are the vessels for the worship of God and for no other purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from the old man, he will be a vessel for honor, for sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's what it means. You are sanctified for a specific purpose, an exclusive purpose. So what Paul's doing here in these first verses, he's reminding them of their position in Christ. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm reminding them who you are in God. And he hits them with some very powerful words because he tells them, you know, I know the reputation of the Corinthians. I know how they are because he wrote it in the book of Romans, chapter 1. He wrote how they were back then, that evil and that immorality and everything. He says, but you guys, you church, okay, you are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you are what? You're different. You're different. Don't you feel different? Don't you act different? Don't you talk different? Don't you think different? Don't you live different? You're different. You should be, because you're supposed to be set apart for God's service exclusively. For that very purpose. And for no other. Not even for the world. And that's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll get there in about 7 years. He says, listen to this, okay? Because I'm warning you guys. Okay, now I'm going to warn you single people. How many single people we have here? Raise your hand if you're single. Okay? Okay, now raise your hand if you're a believer. Okay, so now listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because it goes for both of us. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You hear that? I know single people don't like to hear that. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay? Oh, no, I met this girl. But I had someone tell me, I said, well, let's look at what this says here. Yeah, but she's a Catholic. Okay, well, that's could be positive because there's born-again Catholics, but she doesn't worship the Lord like you do. And that's the scary part, because most of the time when you fall for someone, you're like, You're like Goo Goo Gaga, and you end up falling away than that person, especially if that person is not a believer. That's why he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What does it? Nothing. And what accord has Christ with Satan? Nothing. Or what part of a believer has with an unbeliever? Nothing. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? I can't hear you. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And don't touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that a beautiful position? Yeah, you can clap. Go ahead, clap. That's your position in Christ. You are sons and daughters of God. And God has brought you out of the world. Now, why do you think Paul wrote this to the believers in Corinth? This portion of Scripture. Why? Why did he tell them this? To encourage them and to protect them. To remind them that they belong to God. So as a believer, we're not to be taken. And listen, because Jesus says something a little different than Paul. He says, we're in the world, but what? We're not of the world. So we're not to be taken out of the world, but we are to be different from the world. There's a difference. Okay? You should be different when you're out there in the world. You should be that beacon, that light. That should be our lifestyle. Our purpose in this world is to what? Be different. We are to pursue and live holy lives and to no longer love the world or touch the unclean things of the world. I mean, I think we all probably learned a lesson more than once of touching the unclean thing and realizing, oh, I should not touch that. Or a relationship, getting involved with someone, and that person just leads you away from the Lord. It happens. And if you think it can't happen to you, talk to Solomon, okay? Solomon, the wisest man in the world. And yet the Lord told him, you know what? Don't seek after other women from other nations because they'll turn your heart against me. And guess what? It did. They did. 1 John, again, chapter 2. And I'm going to share this scripture too because this is it. This is what Satan uses. This is the tactic that Satan will use to cause you to not be different from the Lord, but to be the same for the world. You see that box above Frank's head? That's a thermostat. I control that with my phone. I can go on my phone and I can make it hot or I can make it cold. Then if you go in the youth room, there's a thermometer. I can't control that. That controls the temperature of the room. Okay? It tells me if it's hot or cold. So you're either going to be a thermostat or you're going to be a thermometer where the world controls you. And you're going to either be hot for the Lord or cold for the Lord. You're going to be hot for the world or cold for the world. Or you're going to be able to control your life by being with the Lord. Or like 1 John chapter 2, again, listen. I already repeated this verse. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The things of the world. When you hear that word, things of the world, what do you think of? Okay, sin, fun, pleasure, you know, material things, people, a lot of things. And I'm talking about a lot of things that are good. I'm not saying they're bad, except for sin. They're not bad, but they can cause you to fall, and you have to count the costs. A job. People say, hey, Pastor, I got a job. I said, right on. I'm going to be working, but I have to work on Saturdays and Sundays, and I won't be able to come to fellowship. I don't want to say, well, you shouldn't take that job. I say, you have to count the cost. Ask yourself, is it really worth maybe a few dollars more, a position more, and less of your relationship with us. That's something you're going to have to decide. I'm not going to tell you that, because if I say don't do it and you don't do it, you're going to get mad at me, or, you know, I'm the cause of that. You have to count the cost. Don't love the world or the things of the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that's in the world is what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but of the world. That's the cost. I want to share a story about Warren Wisby. He told a story, okay? I kind of relate this to my walk with God. But he told a story about a wedding that a pastor officiated, okay? A pastor friend of his. He said it was a lovely wedding when the bride and the groom came out of the church and they were heading to the limo, when all of a sudden the bride suddenly left her husband and ran across the street where there was a car parked with this motor on. The bride jumped into the car where a man was at the wheel, and off they drove, leaving the groom there with all the guests. It was later found out that the driver of the car was an old boyfriend of the bride who boasted about that he could get her anytime he wanted her. The husband obviously got the marriage annulled. And I think of that and I said, wow, can you imagine that happening? Does it really happen? Yes, it does. So when you pledge your love to each other, you're set apart for each other, right? Not any other relationship. Any other relationship outside the marriage is sinful. And it goes against God's plan. And as a Christian, we belong to Jesus Christ. We are set apart for Him and Him only. And when we try to serve two masters that Jesus talks about, like He said, it goes against God's plan for us as well. That's why you have to be careful. Look at verse 2, and I'm going to end it here, and we'll pick it up next week because I'm going to end that exactly at 11 o'clock. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to the church of Horizon in North Park, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Are you confident enough to say ours, mine's, my Lord Jesus? You know, there's some in the Bible that talks about, I can't specifically remember, where they were talking about his God. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the one that he serves. And they weren't making him personal, but yet they followed him. He has to be your personal God. You have to be able to say, hey, he's your Lord and he's ours, my Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. And Lord, I just want to thank you for our position in you. Lord, as the Corinthians, they went through some heavy-duty chastisement and went through a lot of sinful things, and it became a church that ended bad. Not all of them, but a lot of them. But yet, your love is greater than your anger, Father. And we know that your long-suffering, at least any should perish, but that all come to eternal life. And it's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. And so, Lord, always keep us close to you, because we just read, God is faithful, even when we're not. God is always faithful. So may we rest in your faithfulness. May we seek your faithfulness. May you bless us, Lord. And we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.